It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, what's going on, grappling fans? Welcome back to another episode of Who's Number One, episode 90. Man, we're churning through these things, keeping busy. Lots of events on the horizon. Lots of events just went down. But obviously, things are a bit different today. No one's calling in. We got an in-studio guest, fresh off a big win at Fight to Win 147, Rafael Lovato Jr. How's it going, man? How are you enjoying your stay in Austin so far?
I'm feeling pretty fat today. It's been a big weekend of eating after a great Friday night at the event. The food down here is so good. I always love my time in Austin, and lately, before this trip, most of the time I'm here, I'm in a fight camp, you know. Some of the other times I was on the show, I'm getting ready to fight, and so I'm eating very well, but I'm taking full advantage these last couple of days.
And coming off a win. Yes. You can relax now.
Yeah, this is our first in-studio guest since before Corona. Kyle Terry and Mikey were here when we had a full office in the beginning of February.
It does
that was the last time we had somebody
at this point.
Had like 70 call-ins since then.
Rafael, I wanted to ask you, one of my favorite moments, it was a small moment in the interview you gave in the weigh-ins last week, was you're supposed to be on vacation right now, but you postponed that. And that's when I knew things were serious. I'm like, Helen better be prepared, man. Rafael put off vacation for this.
Where was the vacation going to be to?
Well, we had a couple things that were possibilities, and then like we were going to do a road trip and go through like New Mexico, Arizona, and stop at some really beautiful like nature parks and stuff like that. But they were all closed, and so then we were looking to go to Tulum, Mexico, and just get some beach. You know, my girl, she's from Miami, and she really misses the beach, and you know, it's always a good time down there and have a nice little connection. After I lost, I was like, hey baby, we can't go on vacation. There's nothing to celebrate.
I'm gonna be miserable. Don't make me do it.
Exactly. And so then I you know, got in touch with Seth and said, hey man, I need to get right back on something soon. And we made this happen, and now I'm gonna go to on vacation at the end of the month. And just take a minute. You know, it was my birthday recently. Normally I try to get away on my birthday and just reflect, you know, kind of re-energize, I had to push that off. So we're gonna get a few days at the end of the month.
Very cool. Obviously, last weekend went great for you. We can jump into that match a little bit more in a minute, I think. But just how important was it to come up with the win? I mean, I feel like it's fair to say that the Hulk loss was kind of devastating for you. It seemed very. It was the first time, I think, ever as a black belt you've been submitted.
No.
Not ever, but in a very long time, I mean, since,
Like 10 years.
So, yeah, very, very long time. What was that process like, kind of going through that and, you know, looking back at your game and you know, just walk me through it. It seemed like a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I put way too much pressure on myself. I forgot to have fun. I didn't smile one time that whole day. On into the event the night of. I was a little heavy, weighted down, felt the pressure. You know, I kind of threw one too many things on top of that victory, like I have to win because of this and this and this. You know, it was Father's Day weekend, my dad was there, I wanted to dedicate it to him, and it was cavernoma awareness month, you know, it's something I was trying to be a voice of all of June, and I wanted to, you know, do a dedication for that, and we had this like whole mission between myself, Shanji, and Victor, all, you know, competing every week, and of course the goal was for all of us to win, and I don't want to be the one guy to lose, and blah 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 blah, and I just started doing all that mind game stuff, and you know, everything up until the event was great. My training was great. I think I overtrained a little bit, and that affected how easily it was for me to feel a little weighted down and kind of like tired on the day of. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I made plenty of technical mistakes while I was out there. The whole, you know, he was just excellent performance, great execution. And, you know, he set me up well, got me frustrated, made me turn. I exposed my arm. I did a lot of things wrong. But you know, now that's past. Like, of course, I did take it hard the first couple of days that weekend. You know, by Monday, I was like, all right, it's time to get back to work. And what example can I set by this? You know, let me be honest with the mistakes that I made. Try to help my students and everyone else that follows me, like, learn from the things I did wrong. I put up some videos right away of me working, like, my side control escape, because the Holt holds it in a different way. Most people have one arm around your body, you know. Either the, like, if I'm on side control here, maybe my right arm's around your body, like, with
sure.
an underhook,
sure.
right? Yeah. Or the way I like to hold a lot, I put my left arm around so yeah. I can look for the Kimura, right? He puts both arms on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
To really block
yep.
that escape and set you up for his north-south choke and possibly to have you turn and maybe expose your arm or a back take, you know. And not only is that style, like, probably the most unique out of those three variations, most people probably hold it the other way, one of the other ways, but he also passes to the weak side. And so you throw in that weird element of how he holds on into the fact that it was on my weak side. And I realized I had a hole in my game. You know, that was something that I was not used to. And, you know, if he did it over here, I think my escape would have been a little better. I'm a little more used to keeping this arm in tight when I turn away. But that's because most people pass this direction, you know. But he was on that side. And the clock was ticking. I knew I was losing. And I had to expose myself. And I turned, but I left that up. And, you know, so I learned a lot. And like I said, I just... How can I be an example to my students? They saw me right back to work. I did, for the next 2 weeks, every time we did situational sparring, everyone started inside control on me, on that side, that way.
Yeah.
And right away that Monday night, I was right back in for an hour straight of doing it and going over my technical mistakes with Shanji. So, you know, like I said, it was just about how to be an example. I really tried to... kind of embody this inspirational influencer role during quarantine, like online social media stuff, and I was just like, all right, let me show everyone me getting right back to work, staying positive, and getting right back to action as well.
Man, I'm sure your students and training partners are relieved you got the win
yeah.
because after him again.
Yeah. One of the benefits of owning a school, right? You have something you need to work on, you can just make everybody start mm-hmm. in that position.
Exactly.
So you said that you felt overtrained going into there. Something I always remembered was, if you've ever seen the Flow Wrestling film Terry, it's about Terry Brands, who, like, he talks about when he made his run back for the Olympics in his 30s, when he retired, came back, and those guys are, like, notorious. They're Iowa guys, Gable guys, notorious for being super hard workers, and he talked about the turning point, realizing, like, hey, I got to adjust my training because mm-hmm. my body can't take it like that anymore. I got to know when I can take a day off. Is that something that you changed a little bit so that you'd come in fresh for this one?
Yes. You know, I feel like in MMA, I really put everything together perfectly as far as my routine, my schedule, you know, my mindset, everything, like all of my journey of jiu-jitsu and competition, gi, no gi, taking those lessons and then applying them into MMA. I really feel like I put it, like, I applied it best for MMA. And definitely, like, I would never train hard the week of an MMA fight. But, you know, sometimes you're like, ah, it's just jiu-jitsu. It's just jiu-jitsu. And you know, Shanji and Victor were in my house, and I'm, like, excited to train, you know, all the time. It's great training. And so, I mean, I was going hard rounds back-to-back with those guys on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the competition's Friday. I would never do that in MMA. You know, never,
yeah,
never
yeah.
spar the week of a fight. But... I kind of just was, oh, it's just jiu-jitsu, and I'm pumped. I just want to train. I want to do a little more. I want to do a little more. I want to do a little more. And I should have pulled the plug way sooner. And then the next day, Wednesday, I'm like, I'm still teaching classes, and I have to wake up early Thursday, grab all my stuff, hit the road, mm-hmm. weigh in. I really didn't have a minute to, like, be calm. until the day of the event when I slept in and I woke up and I was like, man, I'm tired. I was like, well, of course. I've been nonstop. And I was there the week before with Victor.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just a lot. And so, yeah, coming back, I was like, all right. You know, in May it was a little easier. My school wasn't open yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in June we opened. And so then I also had this, like, business stress going on at the same time of reopening and kind of navigating through everything and, you know, all that. But yeah, this time around I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a little more of the MMA vibe. The same thing I used to do. I would travel, you know, early in the week, get there as early as I could to adjust, at least by Tuesday. So this time I drove down on Monday. I got here Monday night and I really didn't train with Shanji. Like, I kept moving every day, but it wasn't jiu-jitsu. Like, we went for a walk. I did some mobility. You know, got together with some of the instructors that work out of Onnit, Francesca, Leo, shout out to them. And just had fun and kept it real light and chill. And the only couple times I put the gi on with Shanji, it was literally just to go over some strategy. And we weren't, like, sparring hard or anything like that. And this time around, I was way more rested and happy. You know, I wasn't like, okay, now it's time to do this. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that.
Something that really interests me, I think being in the right mental state makes a huge difference when you see these top competitors and everything. I think some people are just on that level mentally. And you sounded like you were sort of weighed down by a lot going in your head for the Hulk fight. Mm-hmm. How did you feel mentally going into the Helton fight? How was it different?
Man, like I said, for Hulk, I forgot to have fun. So biggest thing for me was just to remember to smile.
Yeah.
You know? I'm always inspired, you know, but sometimes I can get too, aggressive or whatever. I just wanted to, like, enjoy the moment a little more. Like, there was one moment, you know, when we were backstage and it was starting to come up to my match where I just stopped and I just had to smile at Shanji. You know what I mean? I just had to take a minute and soak it up. Like, you know, every day is a gift. Every time you suit up is a gift. You know, and you can't take it for granted. You can't get too stuck in, I have to, or, you know, I must, or what if, and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, I'm here right now, you know, let me enjoy it, you know. And my students, I had four guys on the card, three of which are from Oklahoma City. They're my, you know, everyday students. And then the other one is from my affiliate in Dallas. But the three from my Oklahoma City Academy all won.
Yeah.
And two of them had subs. They did really, really good. And the one from Dallas, Vinny Sines, he lost a really close decision. I didn't think was, you know, you never know. But I thought he pushed the action more than the other guy. But, you know, everyone was having a great night. And so I was constantly smiling and hugging and like, saying, oh, man, I'm proud of you. Great work. And I just kind of kept that going. And, okay, now it's my turn. Hug Shanji, smile. Like, that's my brother. You know, we got almost 20 years of this together, you know. And just making sure to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most important thing.
One thing I want to ask you. I feel like there's a balance out there that's different for all athletes, but between being relaxed and sharp and how you get yourself in that state. People have a lot of different routines, but where do you like to be? Do you like to be mentally very focused and a little bit intense and sharp, or are you trying to be as loose and calm and relaxed as possible? Does that make sense at all? Am I on the mark
no,
there?
No, for sure, for sure. The old me is pretty intense. You know, I really, like, kind of slap myself in the face kind of guy. You know, really want to bring aggression and just, you know, for me, I'm old school. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really there to dominate.
It's a fight.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to dominate. And I don't want to win by points. I don't want to, like, I'm there to show everything that I have. And so, yeah, I get pretty fired up. Now, when I made my transition into MMA, I learned more on how to let go of that emotion, because you can't fight with emotion in MMA. You know, you can't rah, rah, for everything. You know, you're going to get tired. It's too much. You know, it's already super aggressive. You don't need to add to that. And so, you know, for my MMA fights, I actually found a very, very strong sense of peace and calmness leading up to it, because it's like, you know, there's nothing to overthink. You know, they're gonna lock the doors, and you're gonna react. You're gonna do or die. So I just need to trust. You know, and there's nothing to build up. In fact, the music that I would listen to pre MMA fight is very like it's just instrumentals. Mm. You know, more calming but still motivating. You know, but there's no words. There's no like aggression or violence inside of it. For jiu-jitsu, I'm much more like, okay, hip-hop, like, you know, and now I'm learning a little more, like, you know, of course, my inspiration is completely different now, you know, just last year, right, all the other events I was doing in between MMA fights, MMA was my focus, and so even if I was there for a grappling match, I was there to grapple to make myself better for MMA, mm-hmm. to keep myself sharp for MMA. The main thing that I wanted was to win that belt, you know. That was my number one goal. And so I've had to kind of reformat, and I'm coming back with a whole new purpose, you know. I don't have that big mission anymore. And so now I'm you know, I'm figuring it out. Like for the Hulk match, I was more like that. And like I said, I didn't smile, I didn't have fun. And then I had to remember, okay, like, let me bring more of the pages out of my MMA vibe into this. And find more of that calm, that peace, and just enjoy it. Like, I don't have anything to prove anymore, you know, anything like that. It's just, I'm here to keep getting better, keep learning. And of course, I still feel like I have some good moments ahead of me. And I just want to enjoy the challenge. So now I'm kind of tweaking it, but I think calm is better. Mm. But you have to be inspired. You can't be so calm and you're like, oh, what am I here to win for?
Right.
You know, what am I fighting for?
Half asleep.
Yeah, you got to be inspired. Know what it is. You know, what's your why? What's your purpose? But no, I'm not like, yeah.
You're not like artificially making things more
right.
intense.
Right.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah. Right. Slapping yourself.
Yeah.
Something that, I mean, obviously a lot different than MMA is you spend the entire night, every time you compete, you spend the entire night coaching beforehand, which is something as a school owner, you don't have the luxury to be like Edwin Najmi and just show up 5 minutes before you compete when everybody's looking for you. What's that experience like for you coaching the 3-4 hours before you're going to compete the entire time, basically? Help people get ready? Because that can wear you out, too.
It can. You know, the night that I fought Hulk, I had several guys on that card, too. And I missed the first couple. Like, I didn't want to go there quite that early. And so I missed the first couple, and I felt like I kind of was a little bit rushed. And so this time around, I was, you know, and plus it was super nice. The Fairmont.
Yeah.
It's all in one.
It's a good spot.
It's all in one building, yeah. You know. So I had a room upstairs.
Just take an elevator down to the fight. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
I had a room upstairs, so I didn't even bring my bag down until after two of my guys had already went. Mm. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to cruise down, check it out, kind of get in the vibe, of course, coach them. But then I could just go right back upstairs, and then I got my bag and went down and, you know, started getting ready and all that. But, you know, I'm going to be distracted no matter what. Like, if I wasn't there, I'm still going to be watching on my phone or texting or whatever, like trying to get updates on how they do. And, you know, I'm invested. So, you know, this time I was like, man, I want to spend that extra time there just to kind of get a little more in the vibe, in the zone, you know. And I started thinking, like, well, in MMA, they require you to get there several hours before, mm-hmm. you know, and you spend the first good little bit just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do, like, a two-hour stretch, wow. You know what I mean? Like, and once again, I thought about that after the Hulk match. It's like, I think that was an error, you know. I should have been there the whole time and give myself more time to just – get in the vibe. And you know, it's not like coaching at an IBJJF event where you're literally yelling over, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
all these people, 10 matches going on at the same time, and
you're fighting one match to the other.
Yeah, and you're fighting through all these people. So it's coaching, but it's not that difficult. It's not that hard. And I like the extra time to just, you know, feel it.
Should we jump in and look at this match real quick? What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's pull it up. So this is you versus Helton.
Yeah, I told you guys, don't start it in the beginning.
Yeah, we got it at 3 minutes here.
It was a super, super slow. He started off with a foot in my lapel,
yeah, if you can get
and then he turned it into to squid. I've already broken his lapel grip that was around my leg.
Yeah.
But then he let go of my lapel to just holding both hands on my pants. And then he did a good little leg pummel. Because I had the better angle over there, but then once he got my right knee kind of out of the way, we ended up on this side. And honestly, I was like, I was good with him to come on top. I needed to move.
Yeah.
And I knew that if
right
I went
to close guard, that's nice.
If I went back to his guard, you know, he might
tie you up again.
Tie me up again. So then my idea was to make sure to turn my sweep right into something. Well, first I was going to try close guard because there's still a couple minutes, so I wanted to see what I felt, but he was just, you know, head in the chest, like he wasn't going to move. Nothing was going to happen here. So I try looking to see if I can feed the grip. Can't reach, head down, blah, 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 blah. So I know the time's running out, so I just go hand in the collar, and I look to open up the guard.
Yeah, it's going to be really frustrating at a sub-only format.
Yeah, I was already very frustrated by this point. Of course, it had already been 6 minutes of nothing.
But you sort of know the riddle now. Okay, it's going to be really strong base, not a lot of movement. What are your options mentally? What are you going through?
Well, I definitely want to open up and try to attack submissions first from my guard. And if I sweep, to try to pass right away before he can tie me up. So I open up, and he's already looking for my foot and ducking his head out of the gi twice. I mean, just over and over. I was trying to pull him into something, and
right there,
and then I just go right to the pass.
You weren't playing around that time.
No,
passed
I wasn't.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately kind of going like, you know, knee in the belly, cross choke, immediately spin around, got behind, and just throw the hooks in and go.
Beauty is now. I mean, it's taken a long time to get here, but you've pretty much secured the win. In any case, does it make you relax a little bit? Do you feel
no? I was upset. I really wanted the submission. Like, so I'm trying to. I know arm is always going to be a better choice because getting the lapel grips can take too long for the choke. So first, I kind of see if I could trap his arm and create like a reverse triangle. But then I just went over the head and went to the arm bar and immediately started working on his grip real hard.
22 seconds left, it looks like.
Down to
the wire.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was like you could see he was thinking IBJJF. Like, all right, I swept him. I just got to bury my head and not get swept for the rest of the match. But it's like, yeah, fight to win. You're going to get punished for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I wanted, you know, of course I always want a submission, but then I want to make it exciting, you know, especially for a show like this.
Yeah,
you know?
Professional jiu-jitsu.
And there was actual spectators there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel not pressure, but, you know, I feel obliged to, you know, let's go. Let's make a show. People are watching, you know. Let's battle. Let's exchange.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I'm a big believer in an open game, mm-hmm. you know. That's part of what this is all about, timeless jiu-jitsu. You know, everything has to have a direction. And for me, the only direction is to go forward, you know. There's moments where you need to neutralize, but then you set up your attacks. I mean, we're looking for checkmate, you know. And I think nowadays, a lot of times, especially, you know, like what you were talking about, people playing more IBJJF style, you know, which I don't want to say it's
different. It's a different rule set. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. And there are people that compete in IBJJF that don't do that at all. So
yeah.
I don't want to put it like that's
like
everybody.
Marigali is like every match is submission only for that guy.
But there's a lot of games or techniques, positions that there's no exchange, there's no flow. It's just to lock and close the game, not keep it open, you know. And so there is no clear progression for either person. And so many times, you know, someone gets a sweep, but they're right up in a position where they can get swept back, or, you know, they're still tangled in some shape or form. And it's no clear progression, you know. And I just try to stay away from those positions, you know. Like I either want to get really beaten, or I want to beat the person, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, if I get really beaten, like what happened with me and Hulk, then I get to leave with data. All right, now I found a hole. You know what I mean? In these entanglement matches, where literally guys are just holding on and nothing's happening, you know, someone's gonna lose. Right, and walking off the mat, you know, with a loss and being like, but nothing even happened. Like, I don't know what to work on after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know where to put my focus. It's like, that's the worst. Mm-hmm. You know, I think both people owe it to each other, right, to help make each other better,
sure.
You know? And that's only going to happen if we really go for it, if we open up our games.
It's a great point. A lot of people say they compete to learn, but then you see these very micro games being played, and it's like, what are you guys learning?
Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah,
it's a good 10 minutes.
Great point about sort of like the obligation too. I guess there's less of an obligation if it's a tournament where you paid your own way. You're not getting paid to be there. It's like, all right, I'm just going to do what I got to do to get to the win. But yeah, if Seth's got people there paying tickets to come watch exciting stuff, you got to bring it a little bit, right?
I think, you know, I love Seth's events, and I'm so thankful for everything he does, you know, and the opportunity that he gives us. You know, but I think maybe a couple little tweaks here and there. I think the referees could be more anti-stall. Like the referee saw him, you know, anytime someone has two hands in your lapel with the foot in there, like, okay, 10, 20 seconds, yeah. Let's see where you're going to take it.
You can't really sweep
are you
like
gonna
that.
Are you going to elevate, try to get under? Yeah. Where are you going? But if you're just holding, then boom, like, you got to move. Fault.
Yeah,
you know,
pride,
like yellow card.
Pride, yellow card. Dock the pay
card.
A little bit.
Yeah, yellow card. For real.
I'm into it.
Isn't that what they did in pride with the yellow card? It was like 10% of your pay when they pulled it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hicks and Gracie did that at the Buddha Challenge as well. And it was very similar in the sense that there were three on the outside and one in the middle. Now, Seth has the one in the middle also make a decision. In the Buddha Challenge, only the three on the outside were involved in scoring or whatever.
Okay, so the middle guys is making sure.
The middle guy is literally just keeping him in and voicing anything he needs to voice. But Hickson said, you know, like, if you hold a grip longer than 10 seconds without showing any intent to go somewhere or attack, you're going to start losing points. But the referee in the middle had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
So he wouldn't tell you. You didn't know. There was no hand signal or nothing. So in your mind, you're just like, oh, man, if I haven't done anything, these guys on the side, you know, they're taking points off. And so you got to go, you know. And so you wouldn't even know. You had no idea what the score was.
Interesting.
And there were only four-minute rounds. It was 2 4-minute rounds. And there were subs all night long happening inside of 4 minutes because no one knew what the score was. No one knew if they were if they were negative or not. They just knew that they had to go.
They had to finish.
Yeah, they had to go.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
Like I said, there was a lot of subs, and there were only 4 minute periods.
Interesting. You know, it'd be kind of cool, just like for a piece of content to make, is like get some athletes together and just run really short scenarios like that. Just try a round or two. Just put it out there. Because it's hard to start your own tournament, but maybe we could just simulate some of those rules. That'd be interesting.
I have a really big mat space now.
There it is. There's the seed.
Well, this was one of my ideas. You know, I want to hold camps and do like events and things like that inside my school, and definitely down the line eventually, I want to play around with hosting some events. You know, like little super fight shows. You know, something small.
Yeah.
But I have a beautiful space for it, and you know, then it gives me a chance to play with some different formats and put my ideas into action. And see what the result is. You know, ultimately, it's always going to come down to the athlete. Like, you know, of course, there's certain matchups where guys literally do kind of cancel each other out. But but the mindset of the athlete is always going to be number one. You know, who really is there, you know, to go forward and try to achieve some sort of dominance. But I do think, you know, aggressive stalling calls is going to help.
Sure.
In a lot of ways,
yeah.
You know, what is the intent? Always looking at the intent. If you're literally just trying to hold, you should be punished for it.
Yeah,
I like
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of fight to win, coming up this Friday, We got Victor Hugo fighting on there in the main event. Victor got his black belt a little over 1 year ago. He's come a long way.
Yeah,
I mean, I got him ranked pound for pound number one now because, I mean, he tapped Felipe Andrew in back-to-back weeks, won the Kumite, fight to win champion, won the heavyweight Kumite.
He's been really active.
Yeah. And, he's been killing it. What's Victor looking like these days? Is he coming along? Because a lot of times guys early in their black belt career, they get better rapidly, it seems like. Is that what's going on with him?
Definitely. That's definitely happening to him. He's a giant sponge right now. And man, just such a great kid, great mindset. He's working so hard. He deserves all his success, and he's going to be something very, very special. He's like, of course his size, he's even bigger than Buchecha.
Yeah. Can't be understated that Victor's a big, big guy.
Yeah. Let me tell you about trying to feed this guy for 3 weeks.
Probably not cheap, I imagine.
But no, I love him. I love him. He's a big kid. But God, he can eat.
Oh,
he
my God.
Eat I believe like it. No one I've ever seen.
He probably likes coming out to the Midwest of Texas. He's like, man, the portions here. More of my style.
That's about right. No, and he still orders 2 entrees everywhere he goes. It's 2 entrees.
I believe it. That's classic.
But so he has that size of like a Buchecha, and a little bit of like a throwback Buchecha. Buchecha early black belt was a lot more,
very
upside
nimble.
Down, more nimble. And then as his wrestling progressed, he became more of just kind of like a top player. So he's kind of like that. But then he's got, a little bit of the old school, the influence from myself and Sensei Salo and Shanji. So the ability to mount, close guard, and finish everywhere, along with Baron Bolo and leg locks, he's got it all. So it's so exciting to see his progression and where he's going to go. I think he's definitely going to surpass me, but I believe he has the potential to surpass even the Hibeto brothers as far as all the accomplishments. He's going to be an absolute champion one day. I have no doubt. And, right now we're just doing our best to get our licks in a little bit while we can.
Yeah.
I would say. I told him, I said, once I turn 40, I'm not training with you anymore, Victor. but I enjoy it so much. And he brings something like, of course, his hunger, his energy is motivating for Shanji and I. He's keeping us young. He provides so many different elements of things I'm not used to. Like, I'm not used to being the smaller guy like that. I mean, he's taller, bigger, everything. He's definitely sparking a lot of growth in our jiu-jitsu as well. Just the way he can reach, like he's so long, he can reach different grips, he can do different things, he can elevate me like no one has ever done to me before. And I'm just excited to see where he goes. And I think this has actually worked out pretty well for him. Your first year black belt, I think Vic would have done very, very well and probably would have been on the podium for sure. I don't think he was quite ready to win yet.
Be Buchecha. He would have to get through Buchecha.
Yeah. And I don't think he was quite ready to win yet. But you take, this year and you just develop. Mm-hmm. You stay active the way he is, more active than arguably anybody else. Get those wins, and you shorten that little curve of inexperience, hopefully everything goes well next year and tournaments are back and there's the world. So next year, if that becomes his first Worlds, he's going to be an immediate threat for double gold. And I think he will get it.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, he beat Mergali, he's beat Felipe Andrew, he's beat some really good guys. It's got to be inspiring for you and Shanji, too. It'd be like, you guys have this guy that you can sort of mold and work with and teach, but not only that, but he has a legit chance to be the next Buchecha, like to take over the absolute division. Mm-hmm. It's got to be fun, right?
It's going to be the VH era.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's work to do. He's got a great test this Friday, but he's on his way, and he's just a great kid. I mean, he's so humble. He has the character of the champion that you want your kids to look up to. I mean, speaking of kids, the guy loves kids. Like, for no reason, the 3 weeks he was just with me, for no reason he'd be like, I think I want to stay in and work with the kids today in the kids' class. Is that okay?
That's so cool.
I'm like, Victor, of course, man. Sure. I mean, he loves to give back and just, you know, I mean, he's a genuine, genuine kid. Yeah, he's got a good test this Friday. Max is big. Mm-hmm. Max is good. Max might even be bigger than him.
Yeah, Max Jimenez is a big guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Team.
Yeah.
And so I think, like I said, it's going to be a good test, but no one can move like Victor in that division.
Yeah.
And there's just too many weapons, you know, bottom, top, flying, whatever you want. He has a lot of weapons, and of course I'm picking him. And then I think he'll be coming up to Oklahoma after that, and we'll start getting ready for the next one.
Yeah, I think that's like sort of a secret weapon there is how good his guard. He's got a guard like a little guy.
And he can invert.
Yeah, 260 pounds, and it's like,
dude, he'll literally. I'm like, where'd you go? You know?
Yeah. It's a division where there are guys who legit get on the podium at major tournaments who they're sort of clueless on their back. Like there's guys mm-hmm. who are like they have to be on top. Victor mm-hmm. can go top or bottom. So that's mm-hmm. a bit that just like Buchecha. Yeah. You see Buchecha the same way.
Right.
Buchecha can play guard against these big guys and sweep them, gets on top, and then he kills them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's something that would definitely work. How about Janji? It's got to be good for you now. What are you, like a 3-hour drive from him now?
Oh no, I'm in Oklahoma City, so that's like six.
It's still closer to San Diego.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Like that was. I mean, I've so many times during this past week. We've been in the car together or we're hanging out in his apartment or whatever. And I'm just like, dude, I can't believe this is your home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm right here with you, you know, and it's easy, you know. Like, I think his house to my house is 5.5 hours.
It's great.
Nonstop. I'm so happy for him. Excited for this new chapter. You know, we had a great month together last month. And we've both been through so much, you know, in our lives, individually, personally. And I just think it's beautiful how the timing has all worked out for, you know, like the whole transition out of MMA that was so unexpected, but it happened. But it put me here now. And Shanji coming back to jiu-jitsu, recovering from his surgery, moving here, it put him here now. Victor, first year black belt coming up, like it's a special thing, and you know, I'm just so grateful that we can spend this time together and kind of make one more run, one more little last dance. I think over these next couple of years, we're definitely thinking about ADCC next year. It'll be so much fun having the three of us there, and maybe we'll get someone that can win the trials as well. I mean, it's amazing. I already loved Austin for so many reasons. I have good friends here. Onnit's here, you know, and I've been working with them for a long time. They show me so much love and support. And of course, you guys are here. There's a lot of great food here. I think I mentioned that earlier.
Can't go wrong. Yeah, can't go wrong.
And now I got my brother Shanji here. So, you know, we're going to be connected all the time. We're definitely probably going to stick with the major camps in Oklahoma, just because I have a really great setup there and a lot of good guys to train with. But we'll be crossing each other's paths, you know, here, there, and then probably a lot in Dallas as well, meeting in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, when IBJJF starts get going, the local Texas tournaments, I'm sure you guys are going to both be having people bounced around all those things.
Yeah, and the goal is definitely to try to put together the best team in the South eventually. You know, it takes some time, but that's the plan.
Awesome. So BJJ Stars coming this weekend. I know you already did a thing with Reed, but man, this is pretty exciting, right? You got a lot of good gi matchup on this thing.
Dude, it's a stat card.
Yeah.
Like, there's about 4 or 5 matches mm-hmm. that are all main event material. Yep.
Just to run these off for people at home that might not know about them, we got Joel Gabriel Hoxha versus Kainan Duarte in the main event. Leandro Lowe's taking on Lucas Hulk Barbosa, co-main. Then there's Patrick Gaudio versus Erberth. Claudio Calasanz is facing Izaki Bahaenz. We have Bianca Basilio versus Ana Rodriguez. And that's just the top five. There's a whole bunch more. It's a sick card. And for our viewers in Canada, North America, and Mexico, you can watch that on Flow Grappling. So this could be a good Saturday.
I like Gaudio Erberth.
Me too, man.
I mean, hopefully Erberth doesn't quit or anything. He does that sometimes. If Erberth brings it.
He's been training with Leandro. I think it could be a game changer.
Yeah. Leandro, that might be Leandro might
Everyone trains with Leandro.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they can, right? I mean, you must feel so ready if you're surviving with Leandro week after week. Like, all right.
Yeah, Steve Buchach has been going there sometimes. Yep. So, yeah, maybe we're going to see a motivated Erberth who, when he was motivated, when he was on Team Lloyd Irvin and Atos, and, I mean, he was unstoppable, basically, back then. Mm-hmm. Back when he mounted Adolfo, he mounted Galvao. Bernardo Faria. Mounted Bernardo Faria. Yeah. Beat Galvao, beat Pregisa, beat Hamilo, beat a bunch of guys. So, yeah, maybe we'll see a reborn Erberth, sort of. And, I mean, Gaudio's going to bring it. That's probably going to be a scrap right there.
Erberth submitted Gaudio, I think, in 2016 as well at the Rio Open or something like that. It was a smaller tournament, but still, got to get that one back if you're Gaudio. So he's fired up.
Bianca Basilio and A-Rod.
I think Gaudio will be able to pull it out. I just think, you know, if it's tough on Gaudio, he's going to stay tough. Mm-hmm. If it gets tough on Erberth, we'll see what happens. That's just such a question mark.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be. I mean, they got some similarities as well. They both have good judo, like good stand up, and then they both have good knee bars. It'll be good.
They both have underrated guards too. People think of a big bruiser type, of guy, especially Patrick. Patrick got a really good guard.
Yeah, he can spin well. Yeah. He can move well.
You got to be interested in it a little bit too, because there's a few guys sort of around your weight. Obviously, Hulk, you just fought Leandro Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
Kynan won Wet Roads at heavyweight. So, I mean, Gaudio's usually around heavyweight. So, once the borders open back up, these might be future opponents for you right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely love to tangle with a couple of those, especially Lowe. That'd be cool.
That'd be super cool.
That'd be an honor. You know, he's so awesome.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, at the end of the day, like, you start thinking about wanting to go against all the greats at some point in time, and that's one that I missed. So that would be cool.
Lowe's got a little solo in him, gets bored with one division and moves up.
He just bounces around, right? Yeah, it's a super fun card. I'm really looking forward to it. I was bummed when Felipe Pena had to pull out versus Kynan Duarte, but Joel Gabriel Hoche is about as exciting as a replacement as you can get.
Absolutely.
And they have an interesting history because they went 1-1.
That's the same tournament.
Yeah, Kynan got the guillotine. But Joao, I believe, passed his guard and ran up a pretty good point margin on the one that he won, right?
I think you're correct. Yeah, he definitely won.
So. I remember him passing the guard.
I also remember him being in a bit of trouble, too. I think maybe the guillotine might have been in play, but he got out of it on that second time. But, yeah, Kynan is amazing, but we haven't seen him in action in a very long time.
That was that was the Moscow Grand Slam, which is a couple weeks after Worlds. That was
July.
right after Kynan got his black belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was like his first black belt tournament. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's had like 80 black belt matches since then. It'll be interesting to see how he's adjusted.
Yeah.
But,
Serginho's on the undercard. Sergio Moraes.
Yes. This is Luis Marquez.
My teammate from Evolucion Thai.
Okay.
He'll bring it. And then I thought that Charles de Bronx.
Yeah, Charles Oliveira.
That must be a no-gi match, right?
Maybe.
Seems like it would be.
Yeah. If it isn't, that'd be super cool. But I would assume he would be.
BJ Stars, they mixed in a couple no-gi matches.
Got it.
I think it'll be cool to see him doing straight grappling because his MMA jiu-jitsu is beautiful.
The Darce King, right? That's something he's so good at. Versus Gabriel Rolo, who's another great athlete there. We also have Mayrim. And if you guys haven't watched any of Mayrim's matches, he's an absolute killer.
I wasn't familiar with him.
He's a new black belt.
Is he smaller?
Smaller, but light featherweight.
Okay.
And at the color belt, he's like one of the most exciting people I've ever seen.
He finishes people.
Goes
wild
on people.
Yeah, he absolutely just murders people. Yeah. It's not fair sometimes.
He's from Gigo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, I think do they have a history there? Kleber and Mayrim, have they fought before?
Kleber's been a black belt for a while.
Got it. Well, anyways, that's this Saturday. That's going to be super fun. The replay will be available as well on Flow Grappling. And we should also mention that Keenan Cornelius is making his fight to a debut on Friday versus Mateus Luna. So not Matthias, Mateus.
Yeah. That's right. He's the co-main.
He's done Who's Number One. So it's a very similar format there, the sub only format. But
Who's Number One when he did it was IBJJF.
Was it IBJF at the time?
He lost to Victor to Roberto and IBJJF.
2020 is just a blur, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like another lifetime.
It was his fight to win debut, then the first time he's ever kind of done that format. And I will say, for someone that does play a very calculated lapel based game, Keenan's always trying to finish people too. He's really fun to watch.
He takes it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the Luna brothers are also super aggressive. They're really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I wish the young guys – now you bring up the young guys who try to sort of do the lapel stuff. I watch them. I'm like, man, Keenan doesn't do it like this. He doesn't just grab the lapel and just hold somebody. He grabs the lapel and he's like, he's going for the back. He's going for an arm lock. He's mounting people. He's getting after. So that'll be an exciting one. Him and Victor on the same card. That's a pretty crazy fight to win.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we should also, before we get out of here, mention that Who's Number One, the event is coming back. Gordon Ryan is headlining again versus Ronaldo Jr. It's a crazy matchup, but I'm super excited because Ronaldo is going to bring it. That dude does not stop moving, hyper-aggressive, and it seems a little bit pissed off coming into this match. He's got a little bit of a heat. Make it a little more exciting, I think.
Yeah, props to Ronaldo for stepping up and taking it. A lot of big names turned it down. Ronaldo wants to do it. He stepped up. I mean, it's a win-win for him. If he even shows up and looks good, it's gonna elevate his name a lot in the sport.
100%, absolutely.
But who else have we announced? We got another big fight we haven't announced yet, but today we announced Dante versus Gary, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, Gary Tonin's always great to watch. So is Dante Leon, and those guys have a little bit of history, right?
Yeah, Gary tapped him at ADCC, but I mean, Dante's done a lot since then. He tapped Izaki, he won Nogi Worlds, he beat Renato Canuto. I feel Dante's been progressing pretty rapidly, getting a lot better, and I think he'll have a better showing this time around.
So yeah, stay tuned for that. That goes down July 31st, so we'll be ramping up the coverage and previews and whatnot starting next week really heavily. Mr. Lovato, thanks for coming in. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we get out of here?
Well, I would just say that I kind of posted about it here and there and mentioned it here and there as well. But I have a Facebook group. I created like a Timeless Jiu-Jitsu Facebook group. I just shared a video in there today from my seminar on Saturday I did while I was here. I'm sharing videos, like different content. I've posted a lot of my live classes in there, and talk about more of what I was mentioning earlier of the what Thomas Jiu-Jitsu means to me, and just trying to spark a little bit of a movement there, inspire some people. So would love to have anyone that likes to join or that would like to join, love to have them in there.
I can go join right after this.
Yeah, if anyone wants to learn from me, I'd be happy to have you. And got a lot of good footage with myself, Shanji, and Victor these last few weeks that I'll be sharing in there. So you just put like Lovato, Timeless Jiu-Jitsu, you can find it pretty easily.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely recommended. And we should say a big thank you, by the way, for sharing some of your library. I've seen the Ambalea's breakdown. Andre Galval match recently was on there from his purple belt days, I believe.
And
you got a great archive, and it's really cool to see you putting it out there
for
the world.
I was in Brazil back in the day with my camera just trying to
That's
capture
gold,
as much
my
as I
friend.
Could.
That's gold. Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Who's Number One. Like I said, thank you again, Rafael, for coming and joining us today. It felt great to have an in-studio guest and not just be staring at the TV screen here.
I was thrown off for a little bit. I'm so used to looking this way and talking to the guests.
With headphones.
I had to get used to it.
And we'll see you guys on the next episode of Who's Number One very soon. And watch those events coming up. There's a lot. Take care. See you guys next time.
Boom.
Wow.